people will then target toward a date. And I, you know, there are people out there now that are saying, oh, you know, it's right around the corner. At any moment now, why won't the aliens save us? We need to save ourselves. This was a quid pro quo for them to get certain information from that Kyla showed me. I demanded certain information back, and actually it was information concerning the time travel issue, because they were still trying to be, you know, they were still reticent about informing me as to what the real nature of the situation was, as late as 2001. The Looking Glass shows probabilities, or has shown probabilities. The cube would react with the people present. So there was an alteration, if you will, over what you were seeing from it. It would actually spin out as a yellow disc out of the top of it, where the word yellow book originally came from. Yeah. Actually, I used that to our advantage at the T9, because that, in fact, was present at the T9, and I projected certain information, which caused a little upset during the meeting. But I was also allowed to show them probable outcomes. So in fact, the yellow book, the cube, was used for that purpose. Shockingly, they happened to see themselves standing on the bones of their own families and things like that in the vision, and they ultimately decided to remove Lotus as well as certain abductions from the Tau 9 treaty. They were handing this cube around from country to country to the elitists in the countries to look into their own futures so that they could pick the best paths for themselves. And I'm happy to pass along the information. I'm honored to pass along the information that I understand that the yellow book is no longer accessible. I will say this to everybody, whomever took it. It's in safe hands, and it won't be used to harm humanity.
How would you like to start? What's the best place to start as far as Stargates are?
I've got a list of questions here in front of me, submitted by you two, all 30 of them. And, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned the number.
No.
They are decommissioned. They are separated into their three components. There's a projection component, a ring component, and also a barrel component to the both the Stargate devices as well as the Looking Glass device. The Stargates also have field posts, and again, I'm not a physicist, so I wouldn't be the appropriate one to make comment as to how they work. But there were field posts that were positioned around the actual gates, and they have been stored, I guess. I'm not certain what happened to the field components, but of the three components, they've actually been decommissioned and liaisons to the European Union, the United Nations, and NATO are actually in possession of them. And there is no one group which has one of the other two components.
So
everybody's staring at everybody, and they're not... They can't put the equipment together because everybody is mutually dependent and looking questioningly at everybody else. So everybody is literally protecting everybody else. Of the actual base operating equipment, there are three components to it, which is a projection device of some sort, a barrel, and a set of rings, electromagnetic rings.
Are we able to know how many man-made Stargates there were on the planet?
No. I'm not going to comment as to the total. I will say that there was over 50.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. In different countries of the world?
Yes.
Okay, and these are man-made?
Yes.
Okay, so, and now these are Stargates.
It's not a Stargate. It's a device which accesses.
Okay,
which
right.
accesses a portal, a wormhole.
Does it
or
access a natural, in other words, the man-made device
yes.
accesses a natural Stargate?
It draws off from a natural ERB, an Einstein-Rosen bridge.
Okay.
It accesses it and somehow works, from what I understand, not in parallel, but almost like piggybacks on the energy of the natural Stargate, yeah.
Okay. So, in other words, if there were 50 man-made devices mm-hmm. accessing... they would be accessing a corresponding 50 natural energy vortexes.
That I don't know. There's a possibility, in fact, that when the Looking Glass was operated, they were usually worked in tandem. It required a second looking glass to be turned on at the same time to get acoustics through. So unless a second one was turned on, which was operated at one of the places where Will Uhouse had been, that's he saw the second node location, as opposed to the first node being over at the Papoose facility. Two pieces of equipment, two looking glasses, were required to be turned on at the same time to be able to hear acoustics or sound, if you will, from whatever the people were watching. But to go to piggyback in tandem with the visual response of the equipment, that it required two to be turned on to hear anything, and then both sides could hear the same thing. So I suppose both of the looking glasses being tuned to the same thing was accessing the same tunnel, if you will, to the information.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering. Okay, so the looking glass has an ability to show one the future, but a stargate or equipment that accesses a stargate or wormhole is for time travel, right? We're talking about two different things.
Yes.
Are they using the same technology?
Essentially, yes. The original device was the stargate device. That was then increased in power, if you will, with the use of these field posts. And how it pumped up the power, how it stabilized it, I don't know. You'd need to speak with a physicist about that.
Okay, and
however,
it increased it enough to where it became a looking glass?
Well, no.
The abilities of a looking glass?
No. It would be pumped up in power to stabilize the doorway, if you will, to step through into another location,
right,
which, in essence, because distance and time are relative, the same thing, step two into another time. The looking glass device was a back-engineered stargate.
Okay.
So it was actually back-engineered from the original cylinder seal data, which allowed us to produce the stargate access devices, if you will, what we call the stargates. It's a back-engineered device, the looking glass is. So the looking glass is a secondary device, and it was coming into its fore in the 60s and 70s. And Will saw one of the first generations of it. From what I understand, very large piece of equipment. They always get smaller no matter what. I mean, look at what's happened with the computers.
Will saw?
Oh, yeah.
Will
Uhouse.
Uhouse saw the original looking glass.
He saw one of the original looking glasses demonstrated. And, in fact, it's going to be in the DVD that we're getting ready to put out, the actual interview, where he was indicating the firing of a bullet, I believe it was, through an object. And there was a time delay where the bullet actually passed through the object, where he saw the bullet past the object, or the projectile, if you will, a railgun, I believe is what was being... Yeah, it was a railgun that was being used. And then afterward, they saw the impact of the device. So they were already playing with it in the early 70s, early to mid 70s, with dealing with time sequences.
Wasn't the original looking glass a back engineered from alien technology?
Yes.
Okay. But it also there was information around the cylinder seals that they used as also, and that those cylinder seals also came from an off-world race. Is that
No, the cylinder seals didn't. The information on them did.
On them came from. Which was maybe the Anunnaki? Is that
I wouldn't feel comfortable in characterizing it with that name.
Okay.
Shouldn't go.
But it was off-world technology originally.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And at this point, say that was in the 60s, the 50s, the 60s, you said?
Well, yes. That's when they started actually being showing a lot of interest in actually building the equipment to be able to see over the curvature of time space so that they could see into the future and somewhat into the past, but basically the future.
Okay. So there's also our Henry Deacon contact said there was a black box that came on one of the crafts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're familiar with that black box. Did you have exposure to that as well?
Yeah, so it was something that we called the cube or the yellow disc or yellow cube, yes.
Okay, but then that was not a looking glass. Was that a looking glass?
That is a variant of the technology.
Okay.
However, whilst the looking glass shows probabilities or has shown probabilities, the cube would react with the people present. So there was an alteration, if you will, over what you were seeing from it. It would actually spin out as a yellow disc out of the top of it, where the word yellow book originally came from.
Yeah.
And depending upon what predisposition, it's kind of like a little Yoda telling young Luke, you bring in there what you have with you. You know, whatever is in there is what you bring. You could then change the perspective, the tilt, if you will, the orientation or angle of the information being presented back to you. So unless you are well prepared to deal with such a thing, human interaction and human emotions bring instability of the provenance of the information.
Okay, that's what went on with the black box, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, but with the looking
glass...
And
I used that to our advantage at the T9, because that, in fact, was present at the T9, and I projected certain information which caused a little upset during the meeting, and they got certain abductions removed and Lotus removed off the calendar and things like that. I caused some real trouble,
in other words. Elaborate? Are you willing to elaborate?
Let me sit here and consider what I should and should not.
Okay.
During the negotiations for the Tau 9-6, I was asked to supply a model for the Lotus. In fact, Marcia and I were both asked because they knew tangentially she was involved. I agreed to do so, which is what you respond when you're a sworn operative. It's yes. Unless there are great, great objections. I was then taken to the location where the treaty was actually being negotiated. Give a short recitation as to the nature of Lotus. What was happening is the P-45Ks used Lotus. They wanted to use Lotus for the back engineering of their own neurological problem. I was objecting to its use, but still to provide, was under orders to provide a model. I was prepared to do so. But I was also allowed to show them probable outcomes. So, in fact, the yellow book, the cube, was used for that purpose. Shockingly, they happened to see themselves standing on the bones of their own families and things like that in the vision, and they ultimately decided to remove Lotus as well as certain abductions from the Tau 9 treaty. So we were successful in getting certain things removed. I think I can safely mention at this time, because we're only one OF9 and one Tau 9 treaty away from the passage through the completion of the passage through the galactic plane. So I think I'm pretty well safe to go ahead and mention it now. They're not going to be able to get it back put on the treaties and all of that in the time that we have left. In other words, they got outfoxed. And that's what happens when you're negotiating in treaties.
So you use the capacity of the yellow book or little black box to show them the future implications of what using the Lotus to amplify or to rectify their own biological problems.
This is true, and that was skewed by it takes a great deal of emotion to skew the imagery and the audio that comes with it. But I'll just say that I'm extremely vehement with regard to my objection for the Lotus being used. And apparently that vehemence was sufficient to skew the image enough to get them to jump back aghast and in horror.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, okay. And this kind of like, just for the sake of the audience to some degree, you have seen... in, I guess, the yellow book or in the looking glass, and you can correct me which one it is, the future of Lotus, in a sense. How Lotus becomes, you know, once it's brought to the fore by you.
Well, actually, no.
No?
No, I haven't. The reports to me which came concerning the future of Lotus, which we're not going to get into in depth this
right.
evening, was given to me as information.
Oh, so you didn't see it?
Personally see it, no.
Okay.
I was told.
I see.
I was told. That was during the early years, I say the early years of Lotus. It's only been going on for 6 years now.
Right.
But this was the latter half of 2001. And this was a quid pro quo for them to get certain information from that Kyella showed me. I demanded certain information back, and actually it was information concerning the time travel issue, because they were still trying to be, you know, they were still reticent about informing me as to what the real nature of the situation was, as late as 2001.
Meaning the real situation was, meaning how much access to Stargate, to time travel that they actually had?
Right, the whole treaty system, the situations involving the treaties, their outcomes, the actual potential for both timeline number one and timeline number two outcomes. In the case that we're in right now, we seem to be in a variant of timeline one. And that's good. For everything that I've seen and have read and reported to me concerning timeline number one, it's not happening exactly the way that they figured that it would. But then again, it couldn't, because we've made changes along the way which diverted us away from timeline number two. And in so doing, our future, again, I regard our future as something which is pretty much a blank slate. We're writing it for ourselves. And so we are now seeing something coming to pass which is slightly different than the prognostication, than the probabilities that we were seeing. And I'm good with what we're seeing so far, but, you know, we are still faced with the challenges, the environmental degradation, et cetera.
Okay.
But hopefully we will rise to the challenge.
Okay, so this is interesting, because it sounds like Kyella was instrumental in getting you to have greater access to intelligence about what the Looking Glass was telling MJ-12.
Yeah, it was the information that he was providing me which provoked questions.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that they didn't even want to get into long-winded discussions with me in the late 90s concerning what he even was. After we had argued for years to find out even where the material was coming from, then we were finally given access to the material. I mean, this went on for a few years.
Okay, but your interaction with Kyella was leading you one way and giving you one set of information, and MJ-12 then had another set. Isn't that right?
Well, they weren't really. It wasn't that they had another set of information. He was telling me. He did tell me basically what was going on.
Okay.
And they were simply not providing that information as what they considered a need-to-know situation.
I see. So
they just weren't going to tell me what they didn't feel I needed to know.
But little did they, well, this is my paraphrase, but little did they know that Kyella was basically cluing you in.
He was cluing me in, and he was informing me his perspectives concerning the treaties. I knew something was going on. And that is ultimately what they wanted to know about. And I said, well, for you to know about that kind of thing, then I need to know about certain other things. It's, you know, it was truly a quid pro quo situation. And they said, well, okay, we'll tell you if you tell us.
Right.
So I told them, and they told me a little more.
Wonderful.
And it was right around that same time that Lotus was actually kicking into four, the May 31st, 2001 event that took my prosaic project and basically threw it in the garbage can, and it turned into what it is now, this project that it is now. And as a result, I also found out from them where they said Lotus was ultimately destined. And that is, like I said, we'll discuss that in a
sure.
slightly future date.
But isn't it true, to some extent, that Lotus could help Kyella now?
That was the perspective of the P-45 J-Rods, and that is not my perspective.
I see. So, because I make a distinction between Kyella, who's what I understand a P-52, mm-hmm. and the P-45. So, but they're on the same
They were on the same timeline, the same track, but just separated by 7,000 years.
Okay, yeah. So even so,
which is quite a big separation.
What we got, so what you're saying is that in a sense, Kyella couldn't get the benefits of Lotus because
nor did he ask for it.
Okay.
Nor did he ask for it. And you know, I will say this. This is something that David spoke with David on the phone not that long ago. I'll leave the last name off. I think you know who I'm...
Sure. But we can use his name if it's okay with you.
Well, sure. David Wilcock.
Okay, yeah, because we just interviewed him.
Oh, okay, wonderful. Yeah. And he was talking. We were discussing the same thing, which was the box, the cube. And I said, a strange thing happened. I was pro tempore made MJ-9 for the 12. As a result of a bet that went on within MJ-12. And I got a chance to tap who ended up being the last MJ-9 prior to the adjournment. And before tapping her, who was the first female to ever set in the 12, I got a chance to look at certain documents and look through certain archives in Washington, D.C., prior to going across to the continent and meeting with some folks and telling them basically I wasn't interested in their offers. I'm talking about a trip to Brussels.
The Illuminati?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And during the same time, the cube disappeared. And it hasn't been seen since. And it disappeared out of the archives. Of course, I have no idea where the item may be, but I do know this: I'm happy that they can't find it, because what they were doing is they were handing this cube around. And this is a question that Bill had asked, whether there was only one cube. They were handing this cube around from country to country to the elitists in the countries, to look into their own futures so that they could pick the best paths for themselves. Why don't they just live their lives and try to be good people? Why do they need a little black box to tell them when to jump and how to jump? That's not being fully human, or at least from my perspective and those of our associates. Mm-hmm. That's not being fully human.
Yes.
So, as I understand it, disappeared. Mm-hmm. Now, there have been certain, allegations that have been made that during the time when I had it's almost a year ago now, when I had the bad seizure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was near the end of last year, was it? No.
I think it was about a year.
It was about a year ago, and I had a very severe seizure and was actually put out of commission seriously for a while. And there was a big hullabaloo to get over to my apartment to get something out of my apartment. What that object was, I won't comment. But I will say this to everybody. Whomever took it, it's in safe hands and it won't be used to harm humanity.
All right.
In fact, the fact that it's in safe hands will prevent it from being used to harm humanity. It has been thus far only used, aside from, I've got to try to justify my own behavior in Bandolier of using it for the purposes of skewing to get Lotus off and the abductions off, but I think that was for a beneficial cause.
Right.
But it has been used since actually the 50s by the potentates, by the leaders of the various countries to skew the history.
Wow, that's amazing.
Of the human race.
All right.
And the common folk, the average people, all of us, have a right to a future which is our own, and not being skewed and designated and promulgated and promoted and provoked by blue bloods who feel that they are above everyone else.
Well, thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
I think we probably all owe you a great thanks for that.
Well, I'm just I'm happy to pass along the information. I'm honored to pass along the information that I understand that the Yellow Book is no longer accessible.
Yes.
That's all I know about it, though.
I understand. I totally understand, and thank you for that information.
That may be the reason too why the Illuminati hasn't done something to us, and it may also be the reason on the other end why the old Magi haven't, and it may be why they're all so quiet. And
right, they
don't know.
Have the upper hand anymore, in essence.
The people should have the upper hand, mm-hmm. and they should have the upper hand for their own destiny, and that's why we too have gone as far as what we have to expose the NSSM 200 report, which was put in during the Ford administration, which I believe was written by Dr. Henry Kissinger, wherein he suggested the possible use of food as a weapon. And its use against, in fact, as a tool against the Third World. Now, at the same time, we notice that there's a correlation going on. You can find this from the IPCC report concerning global warming, that if the world average temperature rises, I believe, between 2 and 3 degrees Celsius, that the northern hemisphere, the higher latitude growth will increase. However, if it goes over that, it will decrease. Yet the lower latitudes, by the way, that's where you find most of the third world countries, the 2 to 3 degree Celsius increase will cause starvation and crop loss.
Okay.
Now, isn't this funny?
Yeah.
How they're just allowing the global warming to increase with the provoking with the use of fossil fuels. I'm not saying that's the total cause. It's not. There are cycles involved, short as well as long-term cycles. But isn't that funny? And it's my best guess that they'll probably order just enough ameliorative steps to be taken where it levels off, where the higher latitude or the higher latitudes probably don't lose their crops, where you find the majority of the rich countries.
Interesting. That's actually a fascinating political observation. I think that it is also interesting that most of the crops are being grown, though, in the lower latitudes. They're not being grown in North America anymore.
Right, but you have sustainability, though.
Sure.
Whereas when you have the loss of the crops in the lower latitude, you're also losing a lot of the population from the third world, which unfortunately, according to the way that the documents read, some people find them expendable.
Right.
Well, we don't feel that way.
That's the Iron Mountain report also talks about things of that nature. And you're familiar with that.
I've heard of it.
Well, it's freely available on the net to be read,
mm-hmm.
And it talks about that, something very similar to that.
Right. I'm not one that likes to interject myself in politics at all.
No,
I like the state of the research.
But at the same time.
Well, at the same time, I mean, you know, when we start hearing that the codex is being placed in place, which actually delimits food value, oh, you have all the food you want and starve to death while you're eating it if there's no nutrients.
Right. Absolutely.
When I start hearing that food is being used as a weapon, and it's being used concerning the use of fossil fuels, I start getting personally angry. There's not one person in the lower latitudes that's worth any less than me.
Right.
You know, everybody is worth exactly the same thing on this earth,
yep.
And unfortunately, there are individuals who feel otherwise.
Okay, so Bill, the question you were asking, now that we've kind of, let's talk about, first of all, you mentioned Will Uhouse.
The son of Bill Uhouse.
The son of Bill Uhouse,
right,
very
right.
Well known.
Bill
so
who?
We didn't realize that he was actually, it was the son you were saying
yes.
who had access to that technology.
Yes. Bill was the builder of the avionics and the testing equipment. The back engineered ARV testing equipment, the avionics. I actually saw some of the equipment, and this is in the tape that Marcia and I did with him in a room I actually saw some of the equipment, some of the diagnostic equipments in the Bee Bay underneath the Galileo Bay that he actually built. And so when I started describing it, Will looked at me and said, oh, that's what my dad built. So we had a very nice little connection there.
So are you saying?
But it's Will who had experience around the Looking Glass equipment in the 70s. His son, Bill Uhouse's son.
And Will Uhouse is alive now?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yes. So that's very interesting.
And his wife, Terry, they in fact, from what I understand, they met during the course of conversations concerning our information coming to the public. Terry and Will met one another, fell in love, and were married. That makes me feel kind of personally really good.
Okay, well, so it sounds like Will knows quite a bit about what makes the ARV run, then, mm-hmm. if his father had something to do with the back engineering.
Yes.
Okay, so in 1947, when
yes.
the cube was discovered, it must have really screwed up the idea of the two timelines by bringing in the ability to, I mean, I don't know what the cube can and can't do.
Well, first of all, the cube was not discovered in 1947. There's a mixture of the stories involved. The cube was actually, the information about the cube, its existence, was known as of 1946. It was further discussed in 1947 after a certain crash in Midwestern, lower southwestern state, New Mexico, and following which, during the first brokering for treaties by the Orions with Eisenhower, the cube was handed to Eisenhower. It was in fact expected to go to the United Nations authorities, and it was in fact spirited away by the United States military.
Okay.
They didn't hand it over.
So, the way you're talking about the cube is that it sounds like it connects emotionally with the viewers in a sense.
It does, and the fact that it was actually Orion technology.
Okay.
And it was handed over by them in the spirit of goodwill, but a misassessment as to our evolutionary state, mm-hmm. our ability to handle the issue and handle the equipment. They felt us more balanced than what we actually were.
Okay, well, this opens almost Pandora's box in a sense of United States history.
That is Pandora's box. Yes, and I'm not exactly certain what was seen relative to the cube for 9/11. Mm-hmm. However, the analysis which I was asked to do, of course, I've paid the price now that I've actually done it. Again, people don't want to hear the answers that I came up with, but the analysis that I did indicated that certainly there's at minimum a great suspicion concerning the delay of response. And the information that I have directly from one of the former seated members was in fact that we were aware, but this was Looking Glass technology, not the cube. That we were aware as of the middle 1990s that there would be a coming Islamic extremist war with the United States. We were also aware of certain alternative situations that they used the statistics from the Looking Glass, from the variability between the different pictures, to show that would be occurring at the same time, another probability at the same time. And from their perspective, that the least of the two consequences was 9/11. I am aware of what the other possible consequence was. I'm not willing to come out and start mentioning it because I don't know what the consequences are of speaking the things that haven't been, that have not thus far happened, yet the probabilities existed that they could.
Yeah. No,
I'm feeling a little bit, there's a little weight when it comes to that. But
okay, you're saying, though, that the Looking Glasses have been, as you called it, decommissioned.
Yes, ma'am.
And that means across the board.
Across the board.
Okay.
They are shut down.
And you said there was 50 man-made devices, and I'm assuming...
I said at least 50.
...that would access or create stargates, in essence, out of natural vortexes.
Yes.
And
it would suck them in or make them available.
And a looking glass is not the same as a Stargate.
No, a looking glass is a back-engineered form from the original cylinder seal descriptions on how to build the units that they made Stargate. So in essence, you could take a looking glass unit and make a couple changes to the equipment, lift it up on an angle, put field posts around it, and open up a hole to step through.
Sure. Okay, but the looking glass can show you the future. So are we saying
future probabilities, not the future.
Okay. So are we saying there were 50 looking glasses in operation as well?
Oh no, there were much less.
Okay.
We had a basic monopoly over the looking glass, that and India. India brokered early on with Indira when Indira Gandhi was brokering the Committee of the Majority between the United States and the Soviet Union because the Soviets were threatening to start their own treaty system up with the extraterrestrials, which would have become untenable. We agreed then to expand MJ-12 from a wholly operated and owned American operation to an international operation, and thus was born the Committee of the Majority between 1963 and 1967. And when that information was brokered, that happened in parallel with, kind of under the table, but in parallel with the United Nations treaties involving things like the Test Ban Treaty and the Outer Space Treaty. And so it was being done at the same time under cover of UN support. The diplomats were going back and forth and brokering the opening up so that the treaty system would be a single treaty system and thus tenable and manageable to hopefully a good outcome. And we'll be knowing within the next few years whether that was successful.
Okay, so this is really fascinating. You're saying that some other countries, India for one, had access to looking glass technology.
Yes, ma'am. They had that written in as far back as the 1960s and 70s when it was actually being back engineered from the Stargate material. And so at the same time that Will Uhouse, for instance, was looking at the early generation looking glass, India had the same.
Okay, and are you at liberty to say what other countries had access to that?
To the information or to the equipment?
To the looking glass. To a looking glass or the ability to create a looking glass and look forward into their own histories.
No.
Is because that exception?
And I'll tell you why the answer is no. Within the treaties, the looking glass as well as the Stargates, as well as the cube, and information movement pods are all contained within the treaty system. Within that treaty system, it also prohibits and allows certain passage of information amongst delegates on where the looking glass material is and where the information flow is, what the access is. Being that I stood in Bandelier, I'm considered a delegate, therefore I cannot tell you.
Okay, so you can't tell me who has
access
to that technology
aside from India and the United States.
Right. Okay.
No.
So, but we can assume that some countries, perhaps, that is the leadership of some countries, may have had access to this technology at some point.
I think that it's fair to say that we can assume that they had access to the information from it. But I wouldn't place any characterization over any assumption of whom may or may not have had it.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you for the question, though.
Okay. But it also gives you a whole different way of looking at history. I mean, certainly.
Indeed it does.
You know. I mean, this stuff is got to be, you know, as natural to you as, you know, getting up in the morning, you know, and having a cup of coffee. This is all part of your worldview.
Now, there's nothing as natural to me as getting up and having my cup of coffee. I'm sorry.
We should have never built the
Stargate, yes. Okay, for the purpose of speaking with the visitors from the other timelines, yes, absolutely. The looking glass, no. That was done because of our own shortcomings as people who aspire to things that we maybe shouldn't try to grab a hold of.
Well,
it should have never been built.
Gives you power, right? We're talking about power and the misuse of power here.
Yes.
I mean, bottom line, right?
Yes. And I am an advocate against that misuse. Right. In fact, well, I could say against the misuse. I am an advocate against its use, period.
Okay, so let's say that one has the looking glass, and you're saying it shows probabilities. And one of the things we were wondering is, how does it do that?
Well, from the best I understand, and I was speaking with Bill just a little while about it, the rings and the amount of information via energy, which is passed into it, and I've got to be very, very careful with this. The position of the rings, their orientation, the energy running through them, position of the barrel, etc., because you can raise the barrel up on an armature inside the center of it, all come into play as if you have an onion with the various layers of the onion. As you move through the different energy levels, you also move through the different layers, so you get different bits of information. Now imagine an almost infinite number of layers overlain in comparison to the positions of the rings and amount and an almost infinite amount of energy that you can add or subtract. Tuning it up, tuning it down.
Well, it sounds
instead of going up by 1 hertz or by 2 hertz, maybe by a thousandth of a hertz up and down.
But it sounds like you're working with almost like a kaleidoscope effect. You know, like a kaleidoscope, a real kaleidoscope, the way you would turn and twist and focus, and each time you get a different design, right?
Right, except
time the colors are changed.
Yeah, you get a different design and the colors change, but it's like working with multiple kaleidoscopes, where when you find two different probabilities that you would run into, you have two kaleidoscopes, and you make a change on one kaleidoscope that may factor or function to a different angular change on another kaleidoscope. So you get two separate pictures that you then have that are flashing back and forth.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay, so
best analogy to that.
Is there an interface with a computer to get these readouts in terms of probability?
Yeah, in fact, there's a deinterlacing system which they used to actually deinterlace the flashing back and forth of the two probabilities or the multiples that they had at certain times
when it starts skipping. Freeze them, right? So you could look at them closer.
Well, what they did is they deinterlaced the video and then reintegrated the video and watched the individual videos then.
Yes.
And then determined statistically how much time was spent on each video to determine the amount of probability of each event occurring. And they tested that against probabilities in the field and probabilities of future occurrence to get a system which functions scientifically. And that's...
Okay, so, well, I'm going to go with that, and I'm going to actually say what they might have been doing is then looking back to see, in other words, if they saw an event in the looking glass, all they had to do was calibrate or look at the different possibilities, see which one happened, and then...
That's what they did.
As time went on.
Absolutely. That's right on. That's right on.
Yeah.
That is right on the beam.
Okay.
And you know, some people, like I said, some people say it's blue smoke and mirrors. But then again, I was told something in 2001 that's I'm living in right now.
Okay.
Without going to what it is.
Absolutely.
And like I said, we'll talk about that in the future. But, you know, it's the best scientific equipment that I can imagine for the determining of such a thing. Mm-hmm. But it goes to the old question, just because we have the power to do something, should we?
Sure.
And I am a 100% advocate. She and I had more than a small dust-up out at Frenchman Mountain over this very same thing, which actually resulted in me walking alone down Lake Mead back toward Las Vegas. With she and I yelling and screaming at each other along the roadside. They were doing tests out at Frenchman Mountain during the time that the Rosen Bridge was being accessed there, the Einstein-Rosen Bridge, with the equipment. They had the curtains up and all of that business, and up where Metro couldn't see it from the top of the mountain and all of that. And they were accessing there, and there was a mistake and a small explosion out there on the east side of this little, what we call the Conquistador helmet. And she wanted me to go out there with her to help clean some of the evidence up of it. And she and I got in a more of a little dust up because I didn't want anything to do with it. Because I don't believe, I'm no Luddite, I mean, I'm all for grand technology, but I don't believe in playing with things which actually deal with looking into the future. And there's another issue that was going on at the time, in fact, that the variety of communication which was going on via this equipment from elsewhere, I presume she will still won't admit to me, but I presume that it was from Orion. And it was information, defense-related information, on how this type of equipment, how an Einstein-Rosen bridge at a distance could be used to pull information out of a defense computer system. Uh-huh. And I don't mean a U.S. defense computer system. And I said, you know what? No. Look, we've got the technology here, we've got the talent, we've got the willpower, and we've got the willing to defend our own country without the use of something involving time technology. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to go up against, for instance, God help us, the Chinese on the ground. But at the same time, I don't fear their country either. I believe that we should be diplomatic with them and have a firm understanding and a respect for one another. But I also don't fear them. And so the use of a technology like that is not honorable to me.
Right. Well, it's like knowing how the game plays out means you can play your advantage ahead of time, mm-hmm. and making sure that eventuality will occur.
That's why I was so interested in when I was doing my time with the jobs involving safety and security training and all of that here in Las Vegas, when I was interacting with Marcia and the Eye. Because we were literally on a daily basis talking about that same thing and about the psychology of individuals who come to a table to play a game and who cheat to alter the outcome of the game. And that whole psychology, it's something which I'm not, you know, is not foreign to me. And so that helped, if you will, prime the wick of the explosion between myself and that variety of technology, which actually primed my disagreement with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I understand what you're saying, and there's a million questions that all of this generates.
Oh, I know.
I know we don't have all night, but I would like to ask.
Well, there's 30 of them here.
Knowing, but now that I know what I know and what you've at least communicated, you're saying you don't want to use the looking glass for advantage over country to country, but what about country to off-world?
No. It shouldn't be used at all.
I understand, but
all right.
But is there something there? I mean, in other words, is this technology something that they are using now to look at our relationships with? Because
the technology is not being used at all right now.
Okay, but the reason it's not used now is because of where we're going into the galactic, the plane of the... Yeah.
As of about 2017, I would expect probably that all of these little pieces of equipment will probably all get reassembled, yeah.
Turned back on.
Oh, sure.
2017? That's quite a while.
2016, 2017.
Oh, not until then?
Probably not.
I'm
figuring that they're probably going to act conservatively on this. That's what all of the people of wisdom have suggested to them.
Oh, wow.
Is to act conservatively. That, yes, the so-called cycle of catastrophe or season of catastrophe of Falconelli, the time period from, right around 1992 to right around 2012, right around that area, while we will have passed it, past 2012, we really ought to get through the entire cycle, which is about 1980 to about 2016, to feel confident that the interpretation from the timeline from the future about their own catastrophe is not off by a few years. We're talking about 45,000 years or 52,000 years respectively. We have difficulty understanding what happened 2,000 years ago. And we're talking about 50,000 years here. So it's very wise for them to wait.
Okay, and you mean turn The looking glasses are now decommissioned, but also the Stargate technology.
Yeah, they're decommissioned, and the Stargates and the looking glasses, I'm sure they're all in their little mothballed containers and all of that, and they have been separated. The three components of each have been separated and moved to different power structures, diplomatic and military authorities on the world, in the world. And we're talking about the EU specifically, the UN and NATO. Those are in specific control of one of the three components each. And I cannot comment as to which component is contained by whom.
Okay, but you're saying there's no doubt whatsoever that all this technology has been decommissioned.
There is no doubt whatsoever when it comes to the looking glasses and when it comes to the Stargate technology that it has been decommissioned. And however, there are a few threats going on, ongoing threats from present countries stating that they will put it together at their will, do their own self-determination. And those countries, if push comes to shove, will be shoved.
Okay, meaning put it together now?
As in build one themselves now.
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, what was extant has been collected. I'm under very good assurance that what was sitting there has now been collected and decommissioned.
Okay, and we're assuming Iraq is one of those.
Oh, absolutely.
Basically, they were able to pinpoint in the looking glass the very highest probability for those things to occur.
That's true. And Bill was asking about a future date involving another thing, and a year was given to me. And he was saying, well, if a year can be provided for that,
right,
why wouldn't a year be provided for the other? Well, there was a highest probability year for it. However, telling me about something that might happen in the future involving a project which we're currently involved is one matter.
Sure.
Willy-nilly throwing a date out, which is a probability involving the lives and the destiny of all of us here on the Earth, and specifically to a predicted 4.5 or 4 billion people death, is another matter.
Okay.
That carries an entire different weight with it.
But are we to assume that we've passed that year yet?
Or is you're not to assume.
No. Okay.
That.
So that's still in the offing. What we're looking at is a very low probability of the event,
yes,
the event or the set of events,
yes,
occurring.
Yes.
At this point.
Yes. We're looking at a low probability of the higher catastrophic portion of the events occurring. I expect that the events which would kick it off are still going to happen. For instance, the solar max, which is coming at around 2012, and the expected loss of GPS equipment and things like that, which is out there as part of on the web. You can find that as Engadget, I think, was one of the groups that spoke about the loss of GPS and in satellite communication.
Meaning electromagnetic grid is going to go down.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And that would be the time that I would expect the highest probability of the T2 event having correlated to the history of the J-Rods and the Orions. But that's as far
really?
As I can...
Wow. Okay, well, that's pretty close.
I can't give a date, though.
Yeah, I understand.
I can, but I shouldn't. Because people will then target toward a date. And there are people out there now that are saying, oh, you know, it's right around the corner at any moment now. Why won't the aliens save us?
Yeah.
We need to save ourselves.
Okay.
And that's why the steps have been taken that have been taken in the world and are still underway so that we will save ourselves.